So on today's Kruger Conversation, I am having a conversation with Blake Mykowski, the founder of TOMS, and we are talking about the new End Gun Violence Together campaign. I am so excited to be here and having this conversation with him. The past 2 weeks, I have been heavily involved with this campaign, and it's been amazing to be a part of something so great. So enjoy this conversation. So last March, I, with the help of Youth Empower, put out and worked to organize the national school walkouts. And that was kind of a really amazing experience for me. And through that experience, I was connected through to TOMS. And because they're investing in change makers, I have had this opportunity to go on this 2-week journey launching this campaign. And I wanted to know, what was it like for you? And what has kind of been the process of this campaign? And let's talk about it.
Okay, but first I just want to say, Winter, one of my favorite moments and experiences with you over the past 2 weeks is learning so much about social media. I got my Twitter account on my phone. I learned how to slide into people's DMs on Instagram.
Gosh.
I mean, the amount of like street cred I have with people in high school right now is really sweet. So first, I just want to say thank you for bringing me up to speed so fast and also teaching me new words like bloody lit.
Oh, yes, bloody lit.
When we first connected, it was actually over a year ago when you were in the TOMS headquarters and we were really, showcasing your amazing work with the student walkouts. And it was so cool that, you know, when we decided to embark on this new kind of campaign and vision for TOMS to help end gun violence, we got to work with you again. And it's been amazing. Since we launched it, I guess about less than 2 weeks ago, we've had almost 700,000 Americans go to toms.com and send postcards to their representative. And this is really working. We're already getting calls from Congress people now saying they want to meet, they want to talk. Like, this is even before Congress is back in session. So that is, it's really exciting that the voices are being heard. And to me, the one thing I think that has just been so humbling, really, is the best word, is just how everyone that we talk to wants to participate. You know, whether it's a postcard or whether it's posting on social media or sending the Fallon video around, like, everyone is all in. And I think that speaks to, unfortunately, the state of our country with gun violence. I mean, over 300 mass shootings this year already, and in all places, you know, whether it's a place of worship or a yoga studio or a country western, you know, bar or festival. I mean, there's no place that has remained safe to gun violence. And I think that's why everyone we talk to is wanting to be part of the solution.
And for those in the listeners who don't really know what the campaign is, do you want to like share?
Sure. Yeah. So it was now just a little over 2 weeks ago. There was a shooting in Thousand Oaks, which is about 15 minutes from my home. And my wife called me and she was quite emotional. And she said, look, like, it's happened again. And I'm not taking our son to school today. And I'm actually even thinking about homeschooling him now because I don't feel that there's any place it's safe. And she was not only emotional, but also thinking about making a major life decision that would affect my son's education. And that really kind of got my attention. And I got off the phone with her. And the last thing she said was, someone has to do something about this. And she was saying that rhetorically, and to me, though, there was a moment where I felt that that was directed at me and to me and to TOMS. And it was a moment that I'll probably never forget the rest of my life, because it was one of these things where it was so clear that I couldn't just say enough is enough. I just posting about it and saying thoughts and prayers was not going to work anymore. Like, we need to actually do something. So I contacted the board of TOMS and our CEO. And it was a very impassioned email that I sent. And I said, look, like, if not us, who? And if not now, when? And within 5 days, we organized the entire company to change our business model from giving shoes to now investing in the issues that matter the most in our time. And we made the largest contribution in the history of the United States to this. Over $5 million has been pledged to the organizations that are working to end gun violence. And then my wife and I, after that, committed another $3 million. And,
wow.
And so, yeah.
That's newer, right?
Yeah. We gave it, originally it was $1 million. And then we found some other organizations to also support. And so we've upped it to three, just personally.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, so that but the financial piece, I think, is only one part of this. Mm-hmm. That's obviously what got the headlines and what got people like to really like be like, wow, like Tom's has like totally changed their business model in less than 6 days after 12 years. But the part that I'm probably more proud of is how we've organized over 700,000 Americans to have their voice be heard through this postcard campaign. What I recognize is there's many young people. I don't mm-hmm. know if you have or have not sent a postcard before, but some people haven't. They haven't even bought a stamp before.
Oh, totally not me. I don't even know how to like, I couldn't even mail my transcripts for college applications. So
it's something that's just, it's just a part of the times that we live in.
So with the postcards and going on Tobs.com, would you like to walk the listeners through how exactly sending a postcard works?
Yes, I'll explain exactly what happens in the 22 seconds it takes to do it on the website. So you literally go to Tobs.com, you click on send a postcard, and you'll ask for your name and your address, which then tells us who your representative is. And then you push send. And it's literally that simple. And that goes to our mailing house, which we print a unique postcard from you to your representative. And the postage goes on it, which Tom's pays for. And you now know that you sent a postcard and your voice will be heard by your representative. And so we knew that postcards would have an effect on these representatives because it overwhelms their office when they get a lot of them. And it makes them know that their constituents are speaking and speaking loud and have taken an effort to do something. It takes a real effort to send a postcard today. So we created technology and put it on the homepage of Tobs.com. It's still there right now, where anyone can go on. In less than 30 seconds, they can give us their name and address, and the technology will create a postcard. It will be printed at a local mail house, and it will be mailed, and Tom's pays for the printing and the postage to a local representative. So we've made it easy for people to do something that sometimes can be, maybe seem like, a lot of extra work. And so so those postcards are going out, and they're already overwhelming representatives, and we need more. We're at 700,000 now. Our goal is to get to at least 1 million, so we're really pushing hard. And with that, we are going to get this passed in the House and work towards getting our country safer.
Totally. And one thing that really resonated with me in terms of the postcard action paired with the monetary donation was the fact that a lot of young people, and we even saw in the walkouts, we had like 2.7 million students walk out.
Wow.
And we're really trying to make sure that their voice is being heard in a place that oftentimes neglected the youth voice.
Yes.
And to have another way for young people who may not be of age to vote, because I wasn't of age to vote in this past midterm election, to really speak with your elected official and making sure that your voice is being heard is also like a really important and amazing part of that.
Yeah, no, I think it's really important because, the decisions we make today affect the country we live in tomorrow. And so whether you're 13, 14, 15 and not able to vote yet, this is an opportunity to still make your voice heard and still to help create the country you want to live in.
And something that's also been really amazing to watch is kind of how well Tom's as a whole has just taken on this new change, because with the $5 million and then also the postcards, it's not just postcards and it's not just $5 million. You kind of restructured the way your giving sets up. You want to talk about that?
Sure. So for a couple of years now, we've been thinking about how do we use the resources that we generate through our sales of our product, our shoes, our eyewear, our coffee, to not only give shoes and give eyesight surgeries away as we have, but also to invest in the causes and the change makers of our time. And it wasn't until this moment and the kind of reorganization of the company to do this that we realized we can do this. Like, people want us to do this. Like, our customers are so excited by the fact that we're going to take on issues that are really important to them. We're going to invest in change makers like yourself that are doing amazing work. And so this has been not only, kind of the most dramatic and intense couple weeks in the history of Tom's, but also the most transformative. And now we'll set the the future. And so, you know, we're going to really focus hard these next couple months on getting universal background checks, you know, passed in the House and then the Senate and then across the president's desk. But we're also going to be looking at what are the other issues that are really important that we can use our brand and our resources to make a difference on.
Imagine a workplace with no distractions or disruptions, no endless searching to find the latest version, no constantly switching between apps. Now, imagine a place where everything just flows. At Dropbox, we're building a home for all your team's work and the conversation around it, with a suite of tools that maximizes inspiration and minimizes distraction. Because when teams are in flow, everything just clicks. Visit dropbox.com/flow. Dropbox.com/flow. Dropbox. Keep things flowing. In Washington, the story often ends when Congress passes a law. For The Impact, that's where the story begins. The Impact from Vox is a podcast about the way policies shape people's lives. Last season, Sarah Cliff did what she does best, examining the way healthcare policy has impacted millions of Americans. This season, she's traveling the country to report on some of the most interesting policy experiments happening today. We're looking at cities and states as laboratories of democracy, wrestling with serious problems and experimenting with bold solutions. From democracy, vouchers in Seattle, to education in Vermont, to housing in Baltimore, The Impact will follow the policymakers who have designed these experiments and the people whose lives have been changed by them. Listen and subscribe to The Impact by Vox right now on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening. When Thomas first started, you had the idea of like the one for one, which is still ingrained in your giving. And at that time, you guys are the only ones really doing that, especially on the level that you guys were doing. And with this new shift in terms of like corporate responsibility, etc., I am interested to hear your thoughts on how you think that you guys are acting as trailblazers in this moment. And then if you had any discussions with any of your like fellow founders and people who are heads of big businesses, and if they're thinking about taking a stand, whether it's gun violence or just issues across the board.
Yeah, I mean, one of the most gratifying things in the past 12 years for me as a founder and running Tom's for so long is how many businesses have either adopted a one-for-one model or some type of strong giving component to their sell their product. You know, that didn't exist when we started in 2006, and now there's hundreds, if not thousands, of businesses that have emulated that. And so what that says to me is that, like, this idea that we had was much bigger than helping kids get shoes. It was about allowing customers to connect their purchases to an act of philanthropy. And so now that we're kind of pivoted and we're saying, okay, this is business can also be used as a way to take important stands on issues that matter and to change, you know, the way that, you know, politicians are being influenced. I hope that other businesses will follow that as well. That's what success looks like to me. So we are just now starting to have, you know, real conversations with other founders and CEOs. We haven't had anyone officially sign on yet, but we're going to the biggest brands and the brands that we know and love and are inspired by and saying, look, like, it's no longer acceptable to sit on the sidelines. Like, you have as much influence or more influence than government officials, and we need you, whether it's this issue or another issue, we need you to use your community, use your product as a force for good.
Totally. And kind of something that came to mind when you were talking about that, and also the fact that a lot of consumers have been you've been getting a lot of positive feedback within the past 2 weeks regarding this campaign because, well, one, gun violence is a universal issue, and I feel like everyone wants to be safe. But also on the business side of things, I was reading into this idea of like stakeholders versus shareholders and like the balance between that as a business. And while you want to please both, of course, because your stakeholders, people in like investing in your company, in terms of being consumers, people are impacted by you taking space in certain communities. But then also we are trying, of course, to sell shoes because that's what allows us to like please both parties and keep it going. Was there any pushback in terms of like the shareholder side of things? And like over the past 2 weeks, what conversations were had to actually make this possible?
Sure. I mean, there's definitely a lot of concern initially from my shareholders and our CEO and even our leadership team, because they deeply care about TOMS and understand that our ability to do good in the world is directly tied to our ability to sell product. And so if we did something like this that could potentially alienate some of our customers, then that would jeopardize the good we could do in the future. But what we found was is that, you know, while not everyone has celebrated this decision, we have had a great amount of support. It has not hurt our business. We're still kind of waiting to see what the results are going to be for the holidays, whether we can say it actually helped our business or not. But it definitely has not hurt the business. And I think any customers that we've lost has been made up with new customers gained. One of the things I think that is most exciting to me is that when people wore TOMS in the early days, you know, 2007, 8, 9, 10, they wore them as a badge. You know, it was a badge of like, I give a shit. You know, I care about the world. I helped a kid get a pair of shoes. Yes, that's the literal thing that happened. But more on the you know, kind of on the spiritual side, or on the, you know, kind of philosophical side, I wear these shoes because I know that my purchases can make a difference in the world. And what I'm seeing and hoping continues is that kind of gets revitalized within the TOMS community. So people who bought TOMS 5, 6 years ago, maybe haven't worn them in a little while, or dusting them off, getting them out of their closet and wearing them again with that sense of pride of like, okay, when I wear these shoes, I'm saying to the world, I stand to end gun violence. You know, I stand for the issues that matter the most. And to me, that is potentially the greatest long-term effect from a business perspective, is it reminds people that these are not just shoes, that these are badges and these are pledges and these are states, you know, moments of activism.
Totally. And something that was also interesting learning about over the past like 2 weeks was the fact that your consumers are pretty split down the middle in terms of like political parties and like preferences. How do you communicate with those who might already have some tension regarding somebody saying we're going to end gun violence? And how do you communicate Sure. your message to the other 50%?
Well, I think the great thing I don't see it as 50% one way or the other, because I think when you talk about things that are about keeping kids safe in school, or people safe when they go to places of worship or go to a bar and have a beer, like that's everyone. And one of the things that I was very happy to see when I first, you know, started looking into this is that 90% of Americans are in favor of universal background checks. And that was something that, you know, we could focus on and really get everyone on board. And that's why you've seen, you know, celebrities like Josh Duhamel, who says, I'm a proud gun owner and I support this campaign, or Florida Georgia Line, the country band, saying, I'm a proud gun owner and I think, you know, that we should be able to be responsible with our guns. And so I think the thing that's been so great, and the reason why I feel like I and TOMS almost had a moral imperative to take this risk and to make the stand, was because half of our customers are more conservative politically. And so this was a way for us to say, hold on, we believe so much that this is a human issue and not a political issue, that we're willing to make a huge stand on something that, you know, on the surface people could say could alienate people who are conservative in their political leanings. But I think that what has happened has been the opposite. Some of the biggest advocates for this have been gun owners and people, you know, that would identify themselves in the Republican Party. And so I think that's what's so exciting about this, is this. Some of the people who are really excited about supporting universal background checks are people who are gun owners, who are conservative, and they're saying, look, like, if we don't, I mean, you know, Tyler Hubbard, who's the lead singer of Florida Georgia Line, said in an interview yesterday, he said, if I don't work hard to have universal background checks passed now and gun violence continues to rise, that actually is the bigger threat to me enjoying my guns in the future. Because if it gets so bad and we do nothing, right, that at some point the only thing that the country can do is to take guns away.
Right.
And no one wants that. So I thought that was a really interesting point, is he was saying, like, we have to do something now, or the thing that some people on the conservative side fear will happen.
Right. And TOMS, is, like you were talking about, is uniquely positioned in the sense of they have a really big audience spread pretty much over like a ton of different political opinions, whereas most of the times, especially when it comes to just activism and stuff, a lot of times you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah, exactly.
And so you guys, even with the Florida Georgia Alliance, Tyler Hubbard and him speaking out was a big deal, because throughout over the past year, we haven't seen country artists actually use their platforms to take a stand on this issue, but like Tom's was able to do that.
Yeah, I know. I mean, my good friend and country artist Dierks Bentley was the first person to post, and he didn't even tell me or his wife or anyone. He just did it. And I said, Dierks, I said, gosh, like that was a really bold move. And you know, and he said, you know, sometimes you just have to do what you think is right. And that led and opened to then Tyler doing it, who's also a good friend. And then Tyler, you know, taking it further, challenged the rest of the country artists, and he called him out by name on Instagram. And since then, we've had several, like Lady Antebellum and Little Big Town, and I think there'll be more in the coming days. But I feel like if we can show Washington that even the country, you know, country industry, which has been typically pretty quiet in this regard, and many of them, or most of them, are gun owners, are willing to speak out for universal background checks, then I think the politicians will listen.
Dun, dun, dun. There is a battle going on with the future of the internet and your right to privacy. Big corporations like ISPs and the networks are getting rich from selling your data. And Congress has completely failed to save net neutrality or protect your privacy online. Now, internet providers and mobile carriers like Comcast and Verizon are free to restrict websites, spy on your online activity, or sell your browsing history to advertisers. I don't want my internet browsing to be tracked and sold. That's why I use ExpressVPN. With one click, ExpressVPN shields my online activity from internet and mobile providers, as well as hackers and spies. ExpressVPN has easy-to-use apps that run seamlessly in the background of my computer, phone, and tablet. ExpressVPN secures and anonymizes your internet browsing by encrypting your data and hiding your public IP address. For less than $7 a month, you can get the same ExpressVPN protection that I have. ExpressVPN is rated the number one VPN service by TechRadar and comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. If you ever use public Wi-Fi and want to keep hackers and spies from seeing your data, ExpressVPN is a solution. To take back your internet privacy today and find out how you can get 3 months free, go to expressvpn.com/crookedconvos. That is expressvpn.com/crookedconvos for 3 months free with a 1 year package. Visit expressvpn.com/crookedconvos to learn more. Over the past 2 weeks, something that's really inspired me about working with you and then within this Tom's campaign is the fact that a lot of times on the activism side of things, things get really overwhelming, and then you have hope, which is why you're working, but everything just feels so much farther and like out of reach in terms of working. And you kind of bring this optimism and this like new fire and this hope to make, like, we're going to get this done on January, you know, and like we're going to get 700,000 postcards. Well, we're going to make it to 1 million postcards at least, you know, by January for when Congress goes back in session. Can you talk about like where that hope and that optimism comes from?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's I've always been an optimistic person, but I've also over the years have seen when you just declare something with positivity and you really just believe it in spite of what everyone else might tell you, it can often happen. And actually nothing amazing happens unless someone does that, you know, because there's so many ways to look at the insurmountable obstacles, especially in gun violence in our country, and get overwhelmed. But I choose to just say, you know what, we're going to do this. And I keep saying it's going to happen until it doesn't. And so right now, you know, even though we have great momentum, there's still a lot of challenges ahead. And And I just keep focusing on the next thing that we can do. Okay, let's say, how do we get from 700,000 to 800,000? How do we get the rest of the country artist to post? You know, after the country artist post, how do I get everyone in NASCAR to post?
Right.
I mean, what's the next, you know, just like literally there's just like no end. That's what's so exciting and frankly exhausting about this is that like until every single human being or every single American has either posted on social media and sent a postcard, like I feel like we haven't won for sure yet.
Right.
And so, but to keep that optimistic attitude, even when we do have setbacks and challenges, is really just like the only option I see. Because if you don't have that, you're sure not going to convince others to do that. You have to be just like just radically optimistic,
right?
And that's how you can potentially get other people to join.
And that is like a radical act, and it's been something that I've really appreciated over the past 2 weeks. Also, we do have the postcards, and then that's something that's been taking place, and anyone can go to toms.com, take 22 seconds to send a postcard, a physical postcard, not like an internet postcard,
yeah,
to the actual representative. And then we're pushing for universal background checks.
Yes.
And so that's something that 90% of Americans agree on, and
yeah,
that's also something, which is why we're getting a lot of like support, I feel like, as well. It's not like we're asking to do like other things.
Yeah.
But also, the $5 million is being dispersed among some amazing organizations,
yeah,
who are also combating gun violence from a more holistic view. Why was it important for you to pick such a diverse group of organizations to donate to? And then also, like, what are some of the ones that you would like,
sure,
to talk about?
So it's really important to kind of bifurcate gun violence from a simple step that we can all take to have hopefully a law passed that would make universal background checks mandatory, and how complex an issue it really is and how long this issue has been wreaking havoc on communities, especially communities of color in the United States. So we've chosen to spread our investment across many different organizations that are working on everything from, you know, gun violence research, on working on, you know, how do you really look at the mental health aspect of this, which is a huge contributor to it, to, you know, things like teen suicide or, you know, gun accidents that happen, mm-hmm, in the homes with kids. I mean, so there's a lot of there's a lot of horrible tragedies that happen every single day in communities that never gets reported because it's, mm-hmm, just become a part of their way of life. And we think that needs to be brought attention to as well. But the good thing is that there's organizations that came long before us that have worked really hard on all of these issues. And what they need is attention. So that's what we're trying to do through our website and through things like this podcast, and they need financing, they need help. And so whether that's, you know, Mothers Demand Action, Faith in Action, Every Town, March for Our Lives, I mean, these are all organizations that we're supporting so that they can continue doing the work, really addressing the complexity of gun violence in our country.
Which is also like really amazing, because working within the space, oftentimes it's easy for like organizations like donate a lump sum of money and just give it to like one organization, like maybe Every Town,
yeah,
or start their own initiative to like really like solve things, but it tends to be a more surface level and not actually like investing within the communities who are dealing with these problems, and the people in the communities know what's best to solve the issue, and they've been working at it for a very long time. And that's something that I've been super proud of about this campaign, including like Live Free and the Black and Brown Gun Violence Prevention Consortium. And
that's a perfect example of, like, I like to say, like, organizations like that, I look at them as like, they're like sailboats, right? And they're pointed in the right direction. They know what they need to get done. They just need some more wind in their, mm-hmm, sails. So our investment is really like, we're the wind. Like,
yeah,
we don't need to recreate another better boat. There's amazing boats and they're all going in the right direction. But what they do need is more wind. And so us, and what I'm asking other business leaders and philanthropists now, is to really see ourselves as the wind in this fight, so that these boats can get to where they need to go.
I love that, and especially because I know like a lot of these people and these organizations who I've also had the privilege of working with over the past year are like doing amazing work,
mm,
and
yeah,
for some extra wind in that, like on the sailboat, would be like amazing, and we really can put an end to gun violence.
Yeah.
I believe it.
Great.
I'm super happy and super honored that we're on this journey together, and I'm excited to end gun violence together.
Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you so much, Blake, for doing this conversation with me. Everyone, go to toms.com and send a postcard and listen to next week's Crooked Conversation.